This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
Pointer is holding a series of seminars about the future of the newsroom. Pointer, which bills itself as the world's leading instructor, innovator, convener, and resource for anyone who aspires to engage and inform citizens, is examining what we've lost and learned in a year of remote journalism. And so, this past year with the pandemic, is it going to change the way reporting is done? Has it changed the way reporting is done?
Well, if I could start us off, I think it has. I've seen it as far as doing live reports and such, of course, when people have had to keep a distance. I think we've seen lots of interviews on Zoom and those kind of virtual online interviews. And I think in some way it's kind of enhanced reporting as it's made people a little more accessible. Of course, in our industry, as teachers, we're able to continue on the classroom outside of the classroom with a virtual and a distance setup. And I think that's been beneficial. But at the same time, I think we're also have to be careful, because I know that, if we're going fully online and using a solely an online environment, or more so of an online environment, I should say, you know, what are people liable to believe? Well, this is following not one but two presidential campaigns and other campaigns where a number of falsehoods and inaccuracies have been posted and have been produced and posted as if they were the gospel truth. And I think people are really questioning what they're getting online and what they perceive to be the media. And then we need to have a distinction of who is the media and what is truly journalism. So we truly have our work cut out for us. I think we have some great resources to carry on the reporting during a pandemic or any other kind of a national disaster where we can reach people on their mobile devices. But we've still got to do a lot of work in convincing and making sure that we're practicing that in the most productive way, and making sure people are bringing trustworthiness back to the industry as well, making sure that people put their trust and their value in what is genuine journalism. And I think we're still struggling with that. And I think perhaps that this past year, where we have tried to enhance digital online media, at the same time we still have some challenges that lie ahead that we still have to work through.
So I would totally echo with what Will just pointed out. Journalists are getting innovative. They're gathering information in new ways so as to inform their audience about what's happening or about the topic that they are writing or talking about. At the same time, the news owners and the publishers are also like expecting them, the journalists, to give them the same output of work that they are doing pre-pandemic. For instance, you're writing an article. You need to go, if you need to have some photographs, you need to have some visuals that go along with that. If you are in broadcasting, they expect you to have B-roll. So all those constraints also the journalists have to manage with them, because at the end of the day, journalists have to be very resourceful in terms of getting the story that they want, in terms of how the story has to have certain standards and meets the quality in terms of broadcast. So I find a lot of channels, they were very innovative. Reporters were very, very resourceful in terms of getting the story out in a very effective way. I mean, they might be using the basement, or they might be using the even bedroom to do their stories, do their Zoom interviews. But also I found, like, you know, a lot of journalists and other people, they were actually expecting the subjects or the people who are interviewing to help them in the process. Hey, can you take a photograph of you in this angle and this angle? I want to show you up till your from your hip to the top of your head. I need a close up. So I feel a lot of journalists are also training the people to give them the kind of shots and the photographs that they know, that based on purely my observation with regard to how news were presented in the last 1 year. So I think, you know, it's pretty much, you know, journalists are pretty much being resourceful, but I also feel that they are also trying to pass their work on to the people so that they can get some extra visuals to complement the stories they're writing or talking about.
Well, working in radio, it's interesting. Some people You want to interview them and they suggest setting up a Zoom call, and really don't need to do that. We can just do it over the phone. I can set up a conference call or just a direct call. So it's interesting. People are quite willing, at least I find it interesting, and people are anxious to do it over Zoom when we really don't need to go with that new technology. We have the old-fashioned phone. We can do interviews for the radio.
But the flip side is, see, as a journalist, I feel like, yes, we can accomplish tasks through Zoom or phone, but I would get lots of details when I actually face-to-face talking with the person over coffee or over lunch or over a sandwich, and I might even get some kind of scoop about any kind of topic that we're dealing with. You know, that's the advantage with the regular face-to-face situation. Of course, we have all this traditional means of communication like telephone or Zoom or Skype, but I feel this pandemic actually, you know, not given the journalists there enough room to come up with some more story ideas or even a scoop, which I think has become a kind of a, you know, problem in terms of getting story ideas and all that stuff. I mean, other than that, I think, you know, all those technologies are making a life a little bit easy and useful. But I think the face-to-face, it's definitely a spoiled sport.
Well, I would agree that face-to-face is the best way to do an interview. But in the time of the pandemic, I think what we found is you can do that sort of face-to-face with a Zoom because you're seeing each other. But I'll say again, for radio, for audio only, I don't even need Zoom. I can use the phone just as I always have, and it still works out just as well.
I'll agree to that. I still say that regardless of what's been going on and how we've been able to use the new technology, the newer technology, and try to harness it, I think at the same time we should agree that there's no, as far as covering news, that there is nothing better than you know, a firsthand account, firsthand observation, if that is a kind of a news event that, you know, demands that. In-person interview, I think, would still be preferable, but if the time or the situation dictates or demands that, certainly, yes, you can do over the phone or a Zoom meeting. And it's been very convenient, though I think maybe you might potentially lose out on something there. I think that an in-person interview, in my opinion, and having a firsthand account going to the scene, going to the meeting, going to the event, is certainly preferable when you're that journalist standing in as that liaison, that mediary, that representative for the public, where you can have that firsthand account and really get a feeling and a sense of what's been going on and accurately report that, you know, back to the general public, I think.
Well, you mentioned going to meetings. Some local governments have been forced to, to hold their meetings remotely and broadcast them online, which is something they did not do before. For example, Macomb City Council meetings not only are done over the city's YouTube channel, but they're also archived. So if something came up and you could not attend a meeting or there was something of interest you wanted to review, that is now available, whereas before the pandemic, I don't believe the city was doing that.
But also you have to look at the fact the journalists don't have the option to grill the lawmakers. I think that is a problematic issue for journalists. Well, there is the archive stuff. There is this YouTube stuff. Go have a look at it yourself and then just report that. But what happens if I want to follow up with certain questions? So that, again, is a problem. You know, journalists are not puppets. Like, you know, you give me the information, I'm going to put it on my channel. No, it doesn't work that way. I want to know what was the amount that was set aside for this particular project, and how are you going to handle the crisis that's happening in the county? So if I want some in-depth answers of some of the questions that's raging in my mind, nothing works like talking in a press meet face-to-face with the lawmakers. That makes a lot of difference instead of just looking at some archive or some, you know, footage from YouTube.
Yeah, but you can watch that video and then do a follow-up interview. You can set up a follow-up interview, and I've done that any number of times to get more details. So You can. I'm saying you can watch if you missed something or you need to review it. You can go back and watch the video. Then you can also set up a follow-up interview. It's not right after the meeting, but still the day after or in the days after a meeting, you can still do a follow-up interview either over the phone or in person.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you. But the problem is,
yes,
you're not the only reporter who's going to do a follow-up interview. There are like 15, 20 organizations who want to do a follow-up question. And look at the amount of time it's going to get around with answering your question. So that's the problem that I was trying to, you know, highlight. You know, this, again, news is all about cycle. You know, we don't want the answer after a week for the question that you raise on Monday. So that's my biggest concern.
Well, you've never been to a Macomb City Council meeting if you think there are 15 or 20 news organizations there.
certainly not. But I think that there's something to be said for being able to attend a meeting, especially if you know beforehand what's going to be discussed, and having to be there to direct and ask those questions at that very time and at that very moment. I think that's I think that's preferable, even though technology has really made this very convenient for us, and it's a great option. It's been a wonderful option to be able to carry on business as usual with academia and with journalism and the press and the media. I think at the same time, I think there's some old standards that are, in my opinion, preferable, because I think they're more effective. And I think trying to be at meetings, especially when you know something of strong general interest is going to be discussed, if you could be there to ask the question, pose the question, challenge our lawmakers, our powers that be, I think there's something lost there when we can't be there and we decide to maybe try to just attend a Zoom or do something over the phone. I don't know if we can do everything that way. Some things we can. I think we have to pick and choose what's the best use of our resources there.
Another interesting point I want to highlight also at this point is that I have noticed in the last few months or last 1 year, a lot of journalists are using social media platforms of many, like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. All the sites are also being incorporated into telling a story, which I think makes sense because of the ability to get someone's feedback or someone's take on certain topics. And I think that's a trend that I've noticed in the recent past, that social media platforms are also being incorporated in telling or narrating a story in terms of either a news article or even a podcast or even a YouTube video. So I think that's one development. But another biggest concern that I want to highlight is that, you know, the ability for the journalist to take, you know, stand on certain issues like, you know, vaccines. Again, we are also having a lot of, you know, journalistic freedom to express our views. But at the same time, I feel, you know, we are also split in terms of taking decisions that can affect people's lives. And that's, again, you know, it's been there forever. It's not just like this pandemic has changed it, but I think it has practically aggravated or polarized the situation in terms of all things are also covered, which is like dealing with the content part of the news. But, I mean, those are the two important points that I want to share.
And with that, let's wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.